it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the show has aged like 40 years with Austin Bechtold back there on the ones and twos.
This is Ray's music.
Yeah, for you guys.
Everybody loves Raymond.
We're playing J-Pep.
That's true.
That brought it back down a little bit.
Oh, man. I served the ball over the net, and Bechtold just bang. Boom. Little backhand back the other way. That music does mean that we are joined by the great Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, good morning to you. How you doing this fine morning?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing good.
Ray, your biggest takeaway from the old Mike Tomlin presser yesterday?
You know, probably just that he gave the old dreaded vote of confidence to Broderick Jones. I just wonder how many weeks they're going to give him to get this straightened out. You know, it wasn't good. It's more the same that we've been watching for the last 2 years. I suppose, guys, that, you know, it's his first game at left tackle, his first start at left tackle. Maybe we should give him a little bit of time, but at the same time, that's his natural position. You know, we were told he was going to be more comfortable there, and he looked anything but comfortable against Will McDonald and the Jets.
Ray, the Steelers clearly have to prepare for Broderick Jones's issues on Sunday against the Seahawks. How do you think they go about doing that? How does that look?
Well, Darnell Washington played 26 snaps against the Jets, but, you know, you'd be taking a guy out of a pattern. So, you know, you would be sacrificing, you know, I think some potential yards and points. If you keep Washington in, and they wouldn't have to do it every passing play, but, you know, I think you either have to use Washington to help or you have to have a running back to chip. And, you know, like I said, that does affect other facets of your offense. So I really like what I saw from Arthur Smith in week one. I thought his personnel packages were really good. His play calling was really good. You hate to, you know, you hate to change that just because of one guy, but Doran, I mean, you watched it, you know, you're going to get Aaron Rodgers killed back there if you put him on an island. So I don't know what the solution is.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Did they find a solution in wide receiver 2 week 1, Ray?
Yeah, seems like it. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night, Adam. I was critical of Matt Canada when they would, like, throw these back shoulder passes to Calvin Austin a couple years ago. But think of the two plays, the two chunk plays, really, that the Steelers got. Aaron Rodgers' back shoulder throws to Calvin Austin. One of them a really nice ball down inside the 10. And the other one should have been a pass interference penalty. And, you know, it wasn't called. So I guess that wasn't a chunk play, but it should have been. So they're using him in different ways. I like that. They actually are treating him as like a legit number two. They're not just throwing him in the slot and telling him to run certain patterns. He's running the entire route tree, and I think that's good. And Aaron, one thing about Aaron, you know, he voiced a lot of confidence in Austin from the very beginning, from that time they spent in Malibu, and then it continued throughout training camp. So he's got Aaron in his corner. He's doing a good job, and we'll see if he can keep it up.
Ray, clearly the run game was incoherent. There was no run game. They couldn't get the run started. Yeah. Do you feel like that they're going to try to force the run this coming Sunday against the Seahawks with Jalen Warren?
I mean, I wouldn't. You scored 34 points against the Jets. I would just do. I would do what's working. I would not try to force the run. They're a young group. It didn't work against the Jets. It really didn't work last season, except for, you know, a small stretch in the middle of the season. I just think you got Aaron Rodgers. You might as well use his talents. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL still, at processing, at getting you into the right play. He's not going to make bad decisions. So I just think you roll with Aaron and, you know, you like the old Bill Cowher saying, you know, you throw early to run late. Maybe they can develop an offense where they're really good at the 4-minute offense, closing out games. Maybe that's something that could be a part of this. But there was nothing that I saw in training camp, and certainly nothing that I saw against the Jets that tells me this offensive line can go out and impose its will on people and, you know, be a team that's going to be really strong at running the football.
When you talk about that 4-minute offense salting a game away, do you believe that's where a Caleb Johnson would factor in? Because, my goodness,
yeah.
It was Jaylen Warren, it was Kenneth Gainwell, and then it was one carry for Caleb Johnson for negative 2 yards.
Yeah, and I said that last week, but that was before Caleb Johnson put the ball on the ground.
Right.
Now, I know that happened on special teams. It's different from, you know, taking a handoff from a quarterback, but he still put the ball on the ground. So he'll have to get that cleaned up. Honestly, Adam, I don't know what his role is going to be early in the season. He might only play a couple of snaps a game. They're pretty intent on playing Gainwell. They really like him. And, of course, Jaylen Warren is RB1, and they're going to use him too. So I think Caleb Johnson is going to have to earn his snaps and earn his touches early before they really can trust him.
Ray, let's talk about the signing of Jabril Preppers. Obviously, Deshaun Elliott will be out a few weeks. Do you think that Jabril Preppers will make an immediate impact at strong safety?
I think Chuck Clark is still going to start, but, you know, obviously you need good depth. I was watching some clips yesterday, you know, even from his most recent stint with the Patriots. The guy can still come up and play the run. He can still tackle. He can still hit. You know, I don't think he was ever, like, a guy who was great in coverage. I think that's probably why he's bounced around a little bit. But, yeah, if you want to use him in run support, do that. But I think Chuck Clark is going to start, and then we'll see – this week how Peppers, how his role unfolds here. But I thought Chuck Clark came in and played pretty well, so I wouldn't expect them to make a change anytime soon.
How about this breaking Jets news, guys? The Jets are expected to release wide receiver returner Xavier Gibson, the guy who fumbled the football on the Kenneth Gainwell special teams tackle on Sunday. I like what he's doing there, man. I mean, the Jets were game. Not that people maybe care about this, but the Jets were game, and Aaron Glenn's like, hey, man, you cost us the game. See ya. Talk about accountability. That's accountability. Ray, do you expect Harmon to be back at practice? Like, how do you think this is going to go? Because I didn't think he'd be ruled out on Tuesday. I thought he might be a leave the light on candidate.
Yeah, usually when you're ruled out early in the week, you're certainly not going to do anything Wednesday. You know, maybe they would try to get him out there and work on the side like Thursday or Friday. That's a possibility. But when you're rolled out this early in the week, that it means the injury is still lingering a little bit. So I think the hope is that he comes back for next week's game against the Patriots. You know, we'll see if that happens. But obviously, he's a rookie first-round pick. You want to be careful. You want to make sure that is healed before he goes out there and maybe compromises it in a game.
Ray, what's your feeling or sense around Joey Porter Jr.'s availability this week?
Yeah, I mean, he sort of said the whole, we'll see his practice participation, we'll see how that goes. So, you know, probably be limited today. They'll see how the hamstring reacts. I think if he's out there and he's full on Friday, there's a pretty good chance that he's going to start. It did sound like Nick Herbig is almost all the way back. So we'll see if Nick is full today. If he's full today, that means he's good to go. And I don't know, guys, that pass rush wasn't very good. I think they could use a guy like Nick Herbig in pass rushing situations. I think they were missing that element against the Jets.
Yeah, your evaluation of T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward's game one.
I thought T.J. was fine against the run. He was active.
They didn't run at him very much either,
Ray.
No. But he crashed down hard and still made a couple of plays when it was to the opposite side. You know, I thought the rookie, the guy from Missouri, actually did a pretty good job on him in pass pro. So probably not TJ's best game as a rusher. Hayward he wasn't getting off blocks. His game is that bull rush game. He was getting a little bit of movement, but it didn't affect Justin Fields at all. And he wasn't getting off blocks in the run game either, and no one was. But, you know, Cam, that, you know, Cam's going to talk to us, I guess, later in the week. The question is, like, how much time does he need to get back to where he was? He didn't practice a whole heck of a lot. I don't know if it was conditioning. I don't know what it was, but it didn't look like he was his normal self against the Jets.
Ray, I kind of wrestle with this, and, you know, sometimes you get fooled by certain players, but do you think that Sam Darnold's a good player? Like, this week, if you were, say you were the defensive coordinator and you're Terrell Austin, like, would he worry you in this game on Sunday?
Well, it's funny. A couple of years ago, you know, Darnold was, like, in the middle of I think, his final season with the Jets, and, you know, he actually played really well against the Steelers. So, you know, that's what the Steelers always look at. Like, how does he compete? How does he play against your defense? I think Darnold is a good player. I think the Steelers certainly respect what he did in Minnesota last year. So that's, you know, certainly was different from his Jets tenure. But, yeah, I think the guy's a good quarterback. His first game with the Seahawks wasn't great. They weren't great. But, you know, I think by the end of the season, I think Sam Darnold will have that team, if not in contention. I think they'll at least be right around 500.
Ray, your colleague and our friend Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette asked Mike Tomlin about maybe considering moving Keanu Benton off the nose, and Tomlin seemed to want absolutely nothing to do with it. But yeah. I thought Keanu Benton, frankly, was dreadful on Sunday.
Yeah.
Did you see it the same way, and why would they not consider moving him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dora might have some good perspective on this too. I don't know that Keanu Benton is a nose tackle. They've made him a nose tackle, and then you draft Y.A. Black, who is 6'6", 240, and you're playing him at 4-eye technique. And, like, I asked Tomlin about that yesterday. Tomlin explained it. He said, you know, Black can play inside because he's so big, but they really like his length and his ability to, you know, to hold up against guards and tackles as a 4-eye technique. So to me, that would be something I would explore if this continues with Benton, but we just haven't seen it. And the guy's a second round pick and he's getting pushed around in his third year. I mean, to me, that's not as much of a concern as Broderick Jones is, but it's starting to be the way that that run defense has been getting shredded.
That's well said. And look, they've had success there. Stephon Tuitt was a second-round pick. Javon Hargrave was a third-round pick. And Keanu Benton in year three. It's only been one game in the third year, but he's a far cry from those guys. Ray, this was wonderful. Yeah. It always is. I'm sure you felt comfortable and right at home with the Everybody Loves Raymond theme. So thank you for jumping on with us today, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you.
Thanks, Ray.
I want to get more into Keanu Benton coming up next, because Broderick Jones being bad might be the best thing that's happened to Keanu Benton. If they protected Rodgers well on Sunday, I think Benton would be the biggest lightning rod right now. So we'll get into that. We'll hear Mike Tomlin's comments on Keanu Benton. 93.7 The Fan will showcase a different community each Saturday through the Youth Football Showcase with a special visit from members of the Fan staff. Do you want 93.7 The Fan to visit your game? Email youthsports at 93.7thefan.com with your group name, your group's main contact information, and potential dates. Details at 93.7thefan.com now, brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, and Pelman Electric. Steel City Shredding, also what Pitt is going to do to West Virginia on Saturday. I just took a peek at the line, which has moved to Pitt -7. Pitt a -278 favorite to win.
Mm-hmm. Does that shock you?
No. No.
Did you see Rich Rod's interview yesterday? He was asked about 13-9.
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah. He was like, yeah, it's a sore spot, of course, and it took some time to get over, and I'll never not, like, any win will never be better than, or never make that feeling go away, basically is what he said.
Yep.
Yeah, that's terrible. That stinks. To have to live with that for your whole life. I never really thought about it at the time. You know, it was just like, you know, we won a big football game to ruin the chances of West Virginia getting a national championship, but you don't, you know, I mean, what? I was 19 years old, and I didn't think about that would have to live with a grown man for the rest of his life. That's terrible. actually felt bad. Seriously, I felt bad. It was like I was watching. I was like, man, that's terrible. He has to live with that. Like, even though this game, like, they could blow Pitt out and still won't take away that stinging feeling of 20-some years ago or almost 20 years ago. That's a terrible feeling. That's awful.
You done yet?
I'm just saying it's terrible. You don't want to see somebody go through anguish like that for their whole life. To this day, it's awful.
Now you done?
I mean, I'm sure the same feel. I mean, he has coaches on his staff that played in the game. Noel Devine, Pat White, two great guys.
Narduzzi thought Slayton was on the staff.
Man, might as well be. Slayton's a chef. You know that?
He's a chef?
Yeah, he's like a top level chef.
Do you remember that time that Antonio Brown thought that his chef was threatening him by leaving his fish head
chef
in his freezer?
Nico.
That's right.
Right?
Is my man still in Dubai?
I don't know. Pomp asked me that on the pregame show. The Pitt pregame show, he's like, is Antonio Brown, is he here with us?
No, wait a second here. How does that come up on the Pitt pregame show? Because I know you weren't
Central
grilling.
Central Michigan.
Okay.
Yep.
Now that makes all the sense in the world.
Right.
I was going to say, you wouldn't be grilling him about 13-9. Which, do you see what I've done here?
Yeah.
You are killing Rich Rod about 13-9.
No, I'm not. I'm trying
by,
to.
And by extension, you are crushing me. And my deflection was, I go to a fish head? In Antonio Brown's freezer, for God's sakes? I hate it here. And I've got my friend in a group chat right now all trying to convince themselves that something good could happen on Saturday. And I'm trying to tell my friends, don't do that to yourselves.
Something good could happen.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Hope is a dangerous thing. Shawshank Redemption. Have you ever seen Shawshank Redemption, City Limits?
I actually have, yes.
Do we believe him or not?
I believe him.
Andy Dufresne, Red.
I watched it a couple years ago when doing an overnight shift on the KDK AM side.
It's a good movie to watch overnight if you have to do a shift late night.
Yeah.
You have nothing to do. Yeah,
one of the classic show movies, that when it's on television, yeah. I will watch it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It sure was. We sat up there, we had suds together. We felt like free men for the first time in a long time.
I called someone the other day, and their voicemail was Frank Caliendo doing an impression of Morgan Freeman. And I was so shocked, I thought that I called the wrong number, and I called back, and it was the same thing again. I don't really know what to do. I guess you just leave a message after the beep. Fan Morning Show Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. If Crosby left, would you cry? That is the Twitter poll question. Said I wanted to talk about Keanu Benton here. Here's what Mike Tomlin had to say on Keanu Benton and a potential shift to defensive end.
Keanu is expected to get better from game one to game two like everyone else. I think it's a reasonable expectation. At least it is for me. You know, I think once you've been in the stadium and you've played 60 minutes of football, you know something about yourselves that you didn't prior to going into it. And I think that knowledge, that experience individually and collectively is a catalyst for improvement between game one and game two.
So the 2023 draft for the Steelers, Broderick Jones, first round pick, Joey Porter Jr. and Keanu Benton, second round picks. Broderick was awful game one. Benton was awful game one. Porter got a little nicked up on the hammy game one. Did any of those guys play better their second season than they did their first season?
No.
That is the first draft that Omar Khan oversaw.
Was that Herbig's draft too?
It was.
And he's probably the best one out of the draft?
I think Nick Herbig is one of the best situational pass rushers in all of the NFL, and there are many teams in the league he could start for. Darnell Washington was part of that draft. He's a good player.
Not better than Herbig.
He's not better than Herbig.
Or hasn't been better than Herbig.
They like Spencer Anderson. They really like Corey Trice despite all the injury stuff. The jury's still out on Jones and Benton. Like, Porter's not a bad player, but he didn't get better from year one to year two. And they, I mean, shoot, I say that, but they go out and they get Darius Slay and they go out and they get Jalen Ramsey. So what are they telling you that they think about Joey Porter Jr.? That draft class right now, to me, more bad than good. More bad than good. Even though you get Herbig and Darnell Washington, that doesn't make up for a franchise left tackle being a turnstile. And it doesn't make up for a guy that you have starting every game for you on your defensive line, and you're supposed to be this tough, physical, run-stuffing outlet, being one of the big-time reasons why they were getting pushed around. If Broderick Jones wasn't as bad as he's been, and they hadn't jerked him around left tackle, right tackle, and swing tackle, and this and that, we would talk a lot about Keanu Benton's failures. He needs to get better, and he needs to get better in a hurry, and I don't see it because I don't think that guy's built to play nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
We never did.
Mm-mm.
We never thought he was a nose tackle. Now, why? Black, they said, ain't a nose tackle, even though he's nose tackle capable.
Yep.
That should be your nose, but they never trust a young guy to play that quickly. Keep an eye on that 2023 draft. It ain't good. 412-928-9370. Texter writes in, Pitt fan here, way too much confidence coming in for Pitt. We always find a way to pit ourselves. Don't be shocked when Pitt inexplicably loses. Pitt does tend to do that, as West Virginia has always tended to do that. These programs, they mirror each other in a lot of different ways, in that when the fans get high, that's when things wind up being bad. I got to say, if Pitt has any of these stub-your-toe losses this year, I would be really surprised if they play a poor football game in a rivalry game. I mean, I even think back to when Narduzzi was playing Michigan at Michigan State, and I always thought that Michigan State, a team that didn't have as much talent, always played up in those games. I think about the Penn State game for Pitt in Beaver Stadium. I think about the first Penn State game. I feel like they generally play well in the rivalry games under Narduzzi. And they didn't a couple of years ago, but I don't know that you can coach around Phil Dracovic.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's an egg-laying game for Pitt this year, I don't see it being this Saturday when you're going into the backyard brawl. I just don't.
Yeah.
I think everything favors Pitt. And that's me saying it here. And I'm generally such a rosy guy, Doran.
You are.
I mean, I don't think Jaheim White on his best day is as good as Desmond Reed. I think few players are in the country, but that's their version of him, and he ain't there. And we ain't seen a player, West Virginia, the caliber of a Desmond Reed on the offensive side this year. And I think they got some tricks up their sleeve for that guy.
Maybe.
And I don't think Pitt has shown everything that they plan on doing defensively either, because they didn't need to, because they took, they took care of their MAC opponent.
Don't punt the ball to him.
Yeah.
That's the trick. He is the trick.
I like the way you put
that. He is the trick. Like, you don't need tricks up your sleeve. He is the trick. Don't punt the ball to him.
As a lover of college football and a guy who will obviously watch every Pitt game because it's part of the job, he is a joy to watch.
So fun.
He is so good. So, West Virginia, Oliver Straw is their punter. He's a nice Australian mate.
Mm.
That was pretty bad, huh?
Yeah.
Mate.
Mate. Shrimp on the bobby.
Shrimp on the bobby. That's how I usually have to center myself, too. He needs to be punting the ball to me in section 107.
Yep.
Or else, rut-row.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, listen, I love my school. Listen to this text. I feel your pain, Crowley. I was a lifelong Ohio State fan until about 20. Dated a girl from WVU, went to every game, sat in the student section when they had White, Slayton, Schmidt, absolutely fell in love with West Virginia. Now I'm 38 years old, sitting here like, what did I do? I mean, you better have married the girl. Because if you didn't marry the girl and you married the football program, you could have won a national championship last
year. Wait, so he's regretting his decision of becoming a West Virginia fan? Is that what I'm getting?
Well, I mean, I get it from where he's sitting, because he could have been an Ohio State fan, and they've spent $40 million on the roster every year.
Well, why can't he just be both? That's what Bechtold does.
That's true. Bechtold's like, I see nothing wrong with this.
Just root for both teams. He likes North Carolina. He likes Pitt. He likes Penn State.
Are you currently getting a degree from Penn State? Is that?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am.
In what?
Are you really?
Strategic communications and master's, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Online?
Yeah.
How's that going?
So I'm in the final year of it. So I will graduate next year.
Oh, wow.
I mean, are we passing with flying colors?
The class I'm in right now is hard. The classes before that were easier.
What's the class now?
It's a communications law class.
Oh,
yeah. Geez. I have no idea what I'm doing. I have to read this stuff like 6 times just to be able to kind of understand it.
Can I ask you something without you getting mad?
I can try.
I like to preface my wife with that, and it never works. She always gets mad.
Yeah, exactly.
You are a producer at one of the very best radio stations in the country, and that's not hyperbole. We're up for a Marconi Award. We're one of the top 5 radio stations in the country. What the hell do you need your master's for?
Well, I do want to be able to go back and teach at some point. Like, okay. A night class, you know, like how Starkey does that.
There you go.
You know, chance to make extra money.
There you go.
You had the answer, and that's the right answer.
That's a great answer.
Plus, I always wanted to go to Penn State, so it's nice to be able to, like, say I kind of do.
No, you definitely do. What's going to happen to me when I get fired? Because Becky's got a backup plan. You'll do whatever the hell you want to do. You got the mind for it, and you could go coach someplace or whatever. Me.
Mailman.
Good point. Oh, sometimes I close my eyes. I dream of delivering mail on a day like today.
Mailman.
Oh, what a perfect day to drop off a couple of letters.
Yeah, envelopes.
Mm-hmm. That's the word I was looking for. It couldn't come out.
Yeah. That's probably it.
When, right? I work there, I'll learn the terminology.
What else would you want to
do? I would deliver mail. Because the cold don't really bother me. I just dress for it.
Mm-hmm.
You get your steps in. You get a nice sweat going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else you...
That's the list. I could be a bad stand-up comedian. I think that would...
Do it on the side.
Yeah, do it on the side whenever I'm delivering mail. Mm-hmm. I know people at the post office. Father-in-law worked there for 40 years, getting a pension. So I got an in. Texter, you guys who were criticizing Omar Khan, I think he's pointing mostly at me. This isn't the issue. Development and position coaching. Maybe. Broderick Jones, Joey Porter Jr., Keanu Benton. I mean, they just got rid of their secondary coach last year, so maybe they see it the same way. But they've kept Pat Meyer around, so.
Well, that goes hand in hand, in my opinion. Like, if you're drafting developmental players, like, don't draft developmental players if you don't think that the coaching staff and the coaches can develop them. Like, you have to know that, all right, Pat Meyer is the guy to develop a guy like Broderick Jones. And if you feel like that Broderick Jones is a project player whenever you trade up to draft him, don't do that.
Good point.
Draft somebody else.
Yeah.
That you know is ready to walk in and play.
Because they believe that Faltano could have walked in and played last year.
Yeah.
And they're really high on him now. Look, no one's ever a finished product, but he's a lot closer to a finished product at the NFL level than Broderick Jones ever prayed to be. That's a really good point by you.
Just, I mean, you have to know your coaching staff whenever you're GM. And if you don't feel like that these guys will pan out or get the most out of them, these coaches, then you're going to have to go in a different direction in the draft.
Right, and really, does it even matter if it's an identification thing or a coaching thing? What matters is not so much the why, but the what. And the what is Broderick Jones and Keanu Benton aren't good enough right now. I don't really care why. Broderick Jones, they needed to coach him. They failed. Well, Keanu Benton, what if they looked at him as a finished product, but he was a player that they poorly identified?
Right.
And I'm not saying that Keanu Benton is not going to be an answer, but we're in year 3 and he ain't become that yet. Now, there is a usage problem with him because he ain't a damn nose tackle. I thought he was impactful year 1.
I mean, a lot of these guys, too, that they've messed up. Like, let's be honest. And not just messed up. Like, I mean, a lot of guys are playing out of position or back to their normal positions or playing a different position. Keanu Benton, Broderick Jones. Like, think about how many guys in the last couple of years that just played different positions than they're normally played in college. You're already starting off with the development going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so it's like, I mean, whose fault is that? I think that may be Omar's fault.
It's like, oh, yeah, you know what? We like this guy. We want to draft him. Let's draft him at the, you know, in a second round. Oh, well, he played defensive end his whole career. Yeah, we'll just move him down the D-line. We'll move him inside.
I'm sure he'll be able to figure that out. Right. And I think about Joey Porter Jr. too. What was his biggest knock in college? He was handsy. They didn't coach that out of him. He was a grabby guy in college. And no one threw at him. He's really good. I'm not saying they should not have drafted Joey Porter Jr., but that was the rub, and they ain't fixed the rub. The rub is handsy. Last year, in one game, he's penalized four damn times. My voice got all high. 412-928-9370. You think a mailman makes $80,000?
I don't know.
What's your dream job if you couldn't be a teacher or a radio host?
So we actually did have, we have a friend that is a mailman. Now he's like a friend of a friend, but they do make a decent amount of money.
Hmm.
So Crowley, you would do, I think, decent with that. What else would I do? I think I'd be an actor.
Same.
I'd love to be an actor.
Same here.
Crowley just envisioning me an actor.
Yeah, I want to unpack that a little bit coming up next, and we'll go around the NFL. You can listen to the Fan Morning Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And also you can check out our wildly popular YouTube stream. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Wednesday with Doug Whaley. He'll join us from 9 o'clock until 10. Texter writes in, my son's a mailman in Louisville. With overtime, he makes well over $100,000 a year. Rural carriers make less than city carriers. How about that? Put me out in the sticks, baby. I'll deliver that mail. Call me the mailman.
They make less. Rural makes less than city.
Oh.
Put you out in the sticks. You want to make less?
Well, I'll start there. I'll work my way up to being a city slicker mail carrier.
Oh, okay.
You guys say you would be actors, would want to be actors. Something tells me Doran would have a better chance, Austin. No offense to you.
Yeah, there's a reason why, Crowley.
Have you seen Doran?
I have, yes.
What are they going to cast you as? They ain't casting me either. I'm not trying to...
I think there's a lot of roles for Bechdel.
Yeah.
He could be like the high school student.
I could be a normal dude. I could just be Tim that goes to class.
He could be like McLovin in Superbad 2.
Did you ever do any acting? Did you do theater in high school?
No.
No.
No, I didn't.
No, I got the leg up there on him.
Yeah.
You weren't a thespian.
No.
You didn't do anything with the arts at college.
Well, what genre of a movie would you, like, if you could pick, what would it be?
I'd want to do either comedy or, like, an action movie.
Oh, Bechdel in an action movie.
Can you imagine that? Yeah, me getting, like, shot out of a cannon. They wouldn't have to blow the cannon very much. I'm only 145 pounds. I might just fly right out of the cannon.
What they'd save on TNT, what they'd save on you, I can't talk. I still have dreams where I forget the lines for my high school plays.
Really?
Terrifying. An actor's nightmare. You walk out there, you don't know what the hell you're supposed to say.
Ad lib.
Yeah. I had a buddy, Dan Johnson, great man. We were doing The Crucible, which, by the way, having an audience of high school students have to sit there, watch a play, The Crucible, for 3 hours. Dear God.
Mm.
Well, he was the judge, Danforth, and he actually wound up cutting 20 minutes off of one of our shows because he skipped so many lines.
That's awesome.
It was great. We got out of there early, went to Denny's, got myself a Moons Over My Hammy.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What was your character in The Crucible?
I was on stage more than any other character, and I had 9 lines. I was Francis Nurse. I was an old elderly man.
Huh.
And I literally was on stage the entire time.
Huh.
And I had like 9 lines. I just sat out there. My most famous line was, John, you cannot.
That's it?
That's all I remember. Yeah.
That's not a line.
That's a line?
Oh.
John, you cannot.
That was
my best line, biggest line. It was a banger. And I would forget when to do it about half the time. Yeah. We're supposed to be going around the NFL here. Let's do it real quick. The Eagles are at the Chiefs this Sunday. Oh. Arrowhead Stadium, Philadelphia, a 1.5 favorite. Let me tell you something. The Chiefs are staring down the barrel of 0-2. Doesn't mean they won't win. Doesn't mean they can't win. It's the NFL. The last time these two teams played, it wasn't close.
Mm-hmm.
If Kansas City's sitting there at 0-2, I don't think Tyreek Hill winds up being Pittsburgh Steeler.
No, they're going to go get him, yeah.
Because I think about it, like, Denver is 1-0 already. They're going to the world champion Indianapolis Colts and taking on Indiana Daniel Jones. But that's a game Denver's favored in, 1.5-point favorite. You could be sitting there two games behind the Broncos, everyone's sexy AFC West favorite, or dark horse at least, real early. Los Angeles already beat you. They're going to Tennessee. They're a considerable favorite on the road. Sorry, that's the LA Rams. The LA Chargers going to Vegas, where they're a considerable favorite. You could be sitting there two games back in your own division without the early tiebreaker over Los Angeles. I think desperate times call for desperate measures. Tyreek Hill could be a Chief.
Yep. See that happening for sure.
You'd want to be in horror movies?
Yeah. Or action. If I'm in horror movies, I want to be the monster. Which you wouldn't know was me, because I'd probably have like prosthetics and makeup or a mask.
Flirting with not saying this, but I'll just say it. I was watching NFL Primetime, and my daughter said Booger McFarland scared her.
Why?
And I said, why? And she said, it's because it looks like he's got an extra mouth on his forehead. She was a lot less scared when I told her his name was Booger. She was very amused by that. And there you go. That's our Around the NFL segment. Doug Whaley going to join us for a full hour coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.